Give us receptive hearts to your word and obedient hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Graham. Good morning, everyone. If I know a few of you are online, welcome and join for joining us in that way. The topic this morning is one that is, I believe, close to my heart. Those of you who are part of Free Grace for a longer period of time would know that it is about healing, but it's always the Word of God that directs us, so I will not seek to speak out of what I think, but what I know with the Word of God. Though it raises questions, and it was a good exercise for me to go through this again. Regarding healing or supernatural healing, I have preached on this before, and I had to say, Lord, direct me as to what I bring out in the time that I have. I've preached on it, I'm not sure how long ago, so if there's of interest to you, you'll find it on the website or on the live stream from Facebook. But I want to begin by reading a couple passages, and the first one is in the Old Testament, 2 Kings 5, verses 1 through 14, and then some of the last verses are near the end of Mark 16, and then the closing verses of 1 Corinthians 12. Spiritual gifts is our main heading, and my subtitle is Healing the Sick by the Spirit. 2 Kings 5, beginning at verse 1. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who's in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, "Thus and thus said the girl who was from the land of Israel." Then the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, "Now be advised, when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman my servant to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy." And it happened, when the king of Israel read the letter, that he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God, to kill and make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me." So it was, when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became furious and went away and said, "Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child. He was clean. Turn to Mark 16, verses 15 to 18. And he, which is Jesus, said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." One more passage, verses 27 to 31 of 1 Corinthians 12. "Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. The healing ministry, the supernatural divine healing ministry, has been a journey for us at Free Grace Fellowship. The first time we brought in a speaker regarding supernatural healing was in, I believe, in 2016. Was Timothy Berry from Bakersfield, California. And he came back a subsequent time, the second time, and we took this to the streets. It's always safe with God's people, but now you take it outside the streets. And since then, there has been other teaching and focus on it. And just for those who are visiting, for me, the driving force was our dear little Titus. There's prophetic words spoken over him. There's things we're believing for. Some of his sister have said they've had dreams. His mom and dad have had words. And yet there are things that are, have not, a lot of things that have not come into place. But we're saying, God, here's your word. And here's the situation. How do we reconcile these two? What do we do when we stand on the word and we're not seeing the change we're believing for? And so we continue to be on this journey, and this morning's another step in this journey. But I want to say to us, you are part of the journey. Tope, thank you for the example of the word of God being a mirror, because if it doesn't change you, you may lose what you have. You are more responsible in after being here this morning before you came in regarding this topic. Last week I highlighted that 7 of the 9 supernatural gifts or gifts of the Spirit are seen in the Old Testament. And so in each one of these I have sought to go to the Old Testament and draw from there. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, the prophetic, faith, and this morning it's the same thing regarding healing. But the difference between the Old Testament is that there was a visitation. The Holy Spirit came upon certain individuals, and they manifested supernatural manifestations of the Spirit of God. But we in the New Testament, as New Covenant people, we are inhabited by the Holy Spirit. He dwells in us. But there are numerous examples, or various examples, in our Old Testament as well regarding supernatural healing. And the one I drew on your attention to on this morning, by the way, of Elisha and Naaman. Now you could say there is various gifts at work here. Elisha was a prophet, so he had a prophetic gift that was operating. He was also, he operated in faith. Let this man come to my door and he will see him healed. And then he spoke to him, you go to this body of water, dip 7 times, and you will be healed. He operated there in the gift of healing. Or you could even say maybe it was a miracle. Now there's a difference between healings and miracles in the sense of when it comes to physical healing. Miracles are usually the instantaneous ones. You see the here and you see the instant difference. The healing can be progressive. Here with Naaman, he was told to dip 7 times. Now imagine this, he dips once, nothing. He dips a second time, nothing. He dips 6 times, no change. 7 times, he comes up clean. One of the things we've learned is that just because you don't see instant change doesn't mean God isn't doing something. Don't stop just because you have prayed once, you have spoken once, you have ministered once, there's no change. Well, I guess it doesn't work. I could give testimony, many of you could give testimony, as you persevered, and sometimes 2 or 3 times back to back, and then change comes and it comes gradual. I remember when Timothy Berry was here, there was a lady who came with an incredible headache, I'll call it. She had a brain aneurysm, and the doctors had given her 6 months to live, and just a few weeks before she'd had the last scan on her brain. She came with what she called a 9 out of 10 headache. Pain-wise. When she left, and we ministered her repeatedly, 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 it went down to an 8, to a 7. When she left, it was a 3, but it wasn't gone. She didn't come to the Saturday night session because she had worked all day, and then she did show up on Sunday morning, and she says, my pain is down to a one. And today she has no headaches. She's gone back to the doctor like 6 months later, and normally with a brain aneurysm, whatever it is that's there, it gets thinner and thinner until it bursts. And the doctor was amazed because whatever was supposed to be thinned down had grown thicker, and she is a healthy young lady today. But it was a stepping process. It was a gradual. It wasn't instantaneous. So here with Elisha and Naaman, he had already raised the son of the Shunammite back to life. It wasn't his first divine or supernatural healing. And what he had done to the boy was the result of Elisha praying to the Lord because they were childless. And the boy complained of a headache, right? And and his mom took him on his lap and he died sitting on his mom's lap. And then she sent a servant to Elisha. Elisha came, and then he asked her, or through the servant, is it well? And she says, it is well. But then what he did, he stretched himself over the boy. He says he put mouth to mouth, eye to eye, hands to hands, and he laid on the boy's body. And it says, and it became warm. And then he got off, and he paced the house, and he prayed. And he walked around the house, and then he went back to the boy, and he repeated the same procedure. And this time the eyes opened up, and he sneezed 7 times, and he came back to life. Again, it wasn't the instantaneous, but the prophet, however he knew, or whatever faith level he walked into, he continued, he persevered, and he brought the young boy, presented the young boy back to his mom. Now, how many people did Elisha heal in his lifetime? We don't know. Are these the only 2 instances? How many were there? You know, we can look at Elisha and say, wow, he was a man, he was a faith healer. But there's a case further on in 2 Kings 8, the king that was reigning over Israel, he asked Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, tell me, please, all the great things Elisha has done. And the servant tells his king of the raising of this boy back to life. So it would seem, can't prove it per se, but it would seem that Elisha was not known for numerous supernatural healings. But as the Spirit of God came upon him, he operated in him and he saw people healed. So he tells of a woman's son restored back to life. And this was the same woman who was before the king seeking to get her property back. And the king granted her request. But then we move to the New Testament, another example, and obviously we're going to look at Jesus, who operated in all the gifts all the time, uninhibited, but also the 12 disciples. So Jesus in Luke chapter 9, verse 1, says, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Now, Matthew, in the same account, puts it this way. He gave them, the disciples, power to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. And Jesus said, when you go do this, where he told the 70, tell them the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, the reason you're seeing these signs and wonders gives evidence that the kingdom of heaven has come. Here's the proof, because heaven knows no sickness. Heaven doesn't know of anyone inhabited or oppressed by a demonic entity. And so when you see the power of the kingdom manifested, here's the proof the kingdom of heaven has come. Now, we believe the kingdom of heaven has come and hasn't left. And we also know it is contrary to part of the body of Christ, maybe even the majority, at least on our continent, who believe the kingdom of heaven is still to come through the ushering in of Jesus' physical returning. I'm not going to go into eschatology. I'm not even tempted to go into it. But obviously, I am speaking out of a conviction that the kingdom of heaven was ushered in when Jesus came. He received all authority, as he tells it in Matthew 28, and he tells us to go therefore. Make disciple of all nations. Mark 16, go preach the gospel, and here's the signs that will accompany you. It was proof the kingdom of heaven had come. Now, this is how Jesus stated it. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven has drawn near. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received and freely give. We love reading about those things. You can love teaching or preaching about those things. And then we come to the 21st century, and it preaches well on a Sunday morning, and then now here's Monday, here's Tuesday, here's Friday afternoon, and you come into one of these cases, and now what? You ever run into that? Come on. Well, if you haven't, there's something wrong with that too. Because what part of go don't we get? The go is still go. And I know we get to not even practice, but we get to exercise this within the church walls, and we can accept when nothing changes. But out there, you can look like the fool for Christ. But you can also make Jesus' name receive glory when you see him work powerfully. Now, Jesus himself never sent anyone away who came to him for healing. You realize that? Now, for many of us, this may be area we've gone over before, but this is our topic that we believe where God is leading us this morning. But Jesus never sent anyone who came to him for healing. Nobody was sent to wait. First, go deal with this. Go straighten out your life. Go get reconciled to your brother. Never. Whatever state they came to him with, whatever disease, nothing hindered him from healing those individuals. When evening had come, Matthew 8, this was after the Sabbath, because they were religious people, and you do not heal, you do not come to Jesus before the sun is down, and so the sun was down, they came to him in the evening, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word, and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, and Isaiah, this is Isaiah 53, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Now we know that Isaiah 53 was a prophecy of what was to come. And we also know that prophecy has been fulfilled. We know that Jesus has borne our infirmities. He has taken on our infirmities, and he has bore our sicknesses. And so in 2021, actually in 5 AD, yeah, I can say that accurately because, well, the BC AD was not totally accurate. Jesus was born about 3 or 4 BC. So in 30 AD, or 40 AD, 1500 AD, 2021, Jesus took our infirmities and he bore our sicknesses, so when we come to someone who is demon-oppressed or someone who is physically sick, we can stand on the promise on the Word of God that healing is in the atonement. In other words, the sickness has already been taken care of. Now, I know we pray, we will ask God, you know, God, heal this person or be healed. We will say that, but theologically or technically or biblically, it's like, let the healing that has been purchased by the blood of Jesus be applied to you here and now in Jesus' name. That may be more accurate, but God knows the intent of your heart. So don't totally trip up on how you say it. If you're going to pray for someone's heart and you say, Lord, heal their kidneys, God still knows the intent of your heart. It's been done and it's worked. Luke 4, verse 40. When the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him. And then it says this, and he laid hands on every one of them and healed them. Mark 16 says he lay hands on them. Now, it isn't always required to lay hands, but if it's possible, you lay hands on the people. So let's apply this to a degree, because otherwise it's just information for you. Well, actually, shouldn't be, because the Holy Spirit should be talking to you anyway. So in the Old Testament, there were periodical supernatural healings. Now, I raised the name of Elisha, so he was one. What about Aaron with the brazen serpent? When they looked at the brazen serpent, the snake bites, they got supernatural, they were healed, they didn't die. What about Hezekiah? He was told to set his house in order, he would die. And he was given 15 years because whatever boil, whatever disease was going on, he was supernaturally healed. But then the New Testament, there's Jesus. And a significant part of Jesus' ministry was healing, and all those who came to him were healed. There's the 12 disciples, they were given power to heal. What about today? Who can heal? Or through whom can God heal? Have a conversation with yourself. Can God heal someone through you as a believer? Okay, now here's, drive it home a little deeper. Okay, we believe he can. Will God heal someone through you? Some of you saying yes, and some of you don't want to shake your head either way. Because if you believe he can, and if he you believe he will, then what are you going to do about it? You got to do something with that. We don't have time for open mic here this morning, but I believe there are many of you who could come here and testify of having been used at least once, maybe twice, numerous times, where God supernaturally healed someone progressively or instantly, whether it was a headache or a sore leg or injury or something more, what we call bigger than that. Now, there's those in the body of Christ who believe that the gifts of healing were temporal and they're no longer for today. Again, in this body of believers here at Free Grace, we don't believe that. We believe the gifts of healings are for today. Now, others would say, well, it's only for certain Christians. By the way, we will get to 1 Corinthians 12, okay? The gifts of healings. There's those who say, well, only certain Christians have these gifts, the ability for these gifts of healings. So then what do you do with Mark 16? So let me ask you the question to you again. Can God use you? Will he? I could say depends. Are you willing? Are you open? You're saying, use me, Lord. If you are going to sit like this and wait for God to move you to heal someone, he may never use you. But if you say, God, if your word says that you can use anybody, you can use me, then I'm available. So let's look at Mark 16. Jesus instructs the 11, go preach the gospel. And he says, these signs will follow those who believe. Who's those? Not the 11. The recipients of the 11's ministry. These signs will follow those who believe. And the last part is, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And so if Brady, I know he's listening intently, so if Brady says, Lord, I'm willing, and he goes find someone who is ill and you lay hands on them, God may well use him. It's that simple. Now, not just healing. It's not about just a healing ministry. But neither is it just about preaching the gospel. The kingdom of God is manifested, the message is preached, accompanied with signs and wonders. We can want the signs, we can want the wonders, we can want to see the supernatural, but it must go along with the message. There must be the preach, the message of the kingdom of God is salvation and healing and casting out of demons and miracles and prophecy and words of wisdom and words of knowledge and words of and works of mercy. It's all of them. Now, this has been highlighted before as well, but for some of you, this may be new. You have something that the disciples didn't have when they walked with Jesus. The disciples were still operating under the old covenant. Now, they were given power, but they were really operating like the Elishas and Aaron. Your new covenant. Your new covenant. As we know, a covenant was ratified with the shedding of blood. Jesus said, "This is my covenant." And a few hours later, less than a day later, he sheds his blood on the cross. You are new covenant believers. And so you are indwelt now by the Holy Spirit. You have something that the disciples didn't have in the 3.5 years of public ministry of Jesus. Oh, they got it the day of Pentecost, but they didn't have it in the Gospels. And look what they did. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Matthew knew something when he left the table of money, that Jesus had something to offer that he was missing. Zacchaeus climbed the tree to see this Jesus. Nicodemus comes to him by night. A woman at the well says, "Sir, you have something I need." And she told him in the village, and the village heard the kingdom message. So that's you. In 2016, Timothy Berry was here, and one of the things he taught us is that God can use any new covenant believer. And the first night he first led, and he said, "The impression I get is God wants to heal flat feet." You remember? 7 people came to the front with flat feet. Either 4 or 5 got the instant healing that night. And I believe 1 or 2 over the next number of days, and I think one of them, last I remember, is one person did not get healed. There was a lady here, she was here this morning, maybe she walked up. She said she was in the shower and she was kind of doing this. Because before it would be like, you know, it would be from flat feet. She couldn't do it anymore. The arches were there. But then he had us lay hands on people to show that it wasn't just Timothy Berry. It wasn't just a select few. In January of 2019, I ran into the ministry of John G. Lake, of Curry Blake, and I've shared the link with numerous people. But it gripped me probably more than any one of you. It still does. Because Curry Blake doesn't just teach and train on this or teach on this, he trains people to say, "What I can do, you can do. God can use you." But it can become really difficult at times when you minister to someone numerous times and there's no change, and you say, can I minister to you again? And these people set themselves up for potential disappointment, and disappointment can come. So what do we do? How do we deal with those? And so, yes, for me, this topic is close to my heart as if, like few others. And we know the arguments in the body of Christ. Okay, you know, what about Paul's thorn? And I've spoken on that. Paul's thorn was not a physical infirmity. It was a person. I won't go into that. You can ask me later if you want some biblical support for that. You know, in the church sometimes we'll say, "Well, the reason you're not healed because you got some sin in your life." Can't find that in your Gospels or Bible either. Jesus healed all that came to him. Or they'll say, "You just don't have enough faith." That's a lie from the pit too. It's never dependent upon the recipient's faith. So what do we do with it? So here we come to 1 Corinthians 12. It says gifts of healing. First of all, I'm not trying to go over time, but I think we'll go a little bit over time. It says gifts of healing. It's plural. But it has to do with the supernatural. These are the gifts of the Spirit. And as the reason I read the latter part of the chapter, because it's like the obvious question is asked. Do all prophesy? Do all have words of knowledge? Do all have wisdom? Do all have gifts of healings? And the obvious would be no. And then we're to reconcile that with Mark 16. And when the Spirit came upon Elisha, etc. in the Old Testament. But it is the gift of the Spirit to minister healing through a believer to another person. That's what it is. It's a gift. It's a gift of healing, and it has to do with the supernatural. It is under the control of the Holy Spirit. And when I make a demand on God, say, God, you said, lay hands on the sick and they will rise. You owe it to this person. You owe it to me. We don't never want to go there. We can't tell God what he has to do. Now, we always minister in faith, believing change. But we can set ourselves and the other party up for great discouragement if he had the wrong approach. We have to minister from a basis that God is good. Everything he does is good. And that our God is sovereign. And we don't always understand his ways. His ways are higher than our ways, though we have the mind of Christ. And so here's a huge key. Are we flowing in the Spirit? Are we abiding in Christ? Are we ministering out of relationship and intimacy with him? The Holy Spirit heals in different ways. And the gifts of healing may be appropriated through the laying on of hands, which is biblical. Sometimes it's we speak the authoritative word of God without laying on of hands, and sometimes people pray. Though the Bible never says pray for someone to be healed, it says speak to the disease. And people pray and they get healed. God is sovereign over all of that. So the first is supernatural, but the second is plural. It's more than one gift of healing. Some translations say gifts of healings, and others say gifts of healing, but it's always the first word is plural. So that means there's more than one gift of healing. Wow. So what does that mean? Well, how many are there? How many gifts of healings are there? We don't know. I know the statement isn't made, well, maybe 39, because, you know, to beat someone 40 stripes minus one, but Jesus was whipped with the Roman whipping. They didn't care about 39. And the language of, this is painful, but the language of Jesus receiving the whipping is singular. In other words, if you could have seen every individual stripe that Jesus received, it would have to be plural. When they were done with Jesus, it was like one massive whipping mess. But by his stripes, we've been healed. Not the cross. That was forgiveness of your sin. But by the beatings he received before he went to the cross, by that he purchased, you are my healing. So we have a confidence that healing is in the atonement. But this is where I've come to believe. Nobody has all the gifts of healings, gifts of healing. Why? Because you have a different first name than Jesus does. Jesus is the only one who had them all. He had the Spirit without measure all of the time in any way. You and I don't. So am I saying that I'm not believing in healing for someone? No, I am believing for healing. But this is what I've come to embrace. You and I are limited because gifts of healings, and every one of these gifts are for the whole body. And if one of you had the full amount or the full gifting of the gifts of healings available to you any time, it would seem to go contrary to what the context tells us of the eye and the ear and the feet needing one another. Because now it becomes about the person. Well, I got to get in this guy's prayer line because he's got, you know, no matter what I come with, we're going to get breakthrough. It's for the whole body, so the whole world receives healing. Let's just say, and there's no Anthony here. Anthony, or Andrea, there is an Andrea here, has the gift. And so you meet someone 60 miles from, 90 kilometers from where Andrea is. You know, I got to bring this person to Andrea. That's not how it works. You have the Spirit of Christ. And how do you know God won't release this gift of healing through you as you lay hands on this person? And so, historically, in church history, this is what's been proven. One person may be used of God in certain cases of sickness, but not in others. One believer sees eyes opened, and another believer is used to heal the deaf. Another person has more success in addressing cancer, and the third one with bone issues. Why? This is how it is. Does that mean when someone has success with eyes, they can never see someone be healed of who's deaf? No, it doesn't mean that. But those are how I come to believe the gifts of healing work. So this is factual from church history. People had most success in one or two areas. Smith Wigglesworth, though he healed all kinds of sicknesses, the one he had most success with was seizures. Consistently, constantly, people with seizures. Fred Squares, he was an Englishman. He had about the only thing he had success with, but consistently, was blind eyes. He saw over 400 people receive sight, but almost nothing else. Clifton Erickson, he had tremendous power in the area of goiters. He would come to a meeting and one time he had 26 doctors lay hands or touch the people who had goiters in their neck. So he had a medical testimony yesterday. He didn't even touch them. He spoke to the goiters, commanded them to be gone, for them to be healed, and he had the doctors come and check them again. They were gone. Success in goiters. Then there was another man, and I will not release his name, though he's in my notes. This man had tremendous success with arthritis. Did not have a failed case. And one time he stood on the platform on another continent and made some kind of boast that basically he was like the master of arthritis or something like that. 6 months later, he contracted arthritis, an extreme arthritis, and he could not get healed. It took his life. They had to cut his limbs to fit his body in the coffin. Thank God there is not one person who has them all. And it's been a rebuke to me. I've had to check my heart as I share at times testimony what God has done. Okay, Bill, what are you doing? You want to look good or are you giving glory to Jesus? And I've repented. Though I want to continue to see people healed. He can use you. He wants to use you. He will use you when you say, yes, Lord. Jesus was moved with compassion. Matthew 14:14, when Jesus went on, he saw a great multitude and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. Mark 1:40-41, there was a leper. Two blind men, Matthew 20, compassion. And in Matthew 9, he says, Jesus was moved with compassion when he saw the multitudes and they were not being shepherded. And then he states that to me are very, very, very dear words. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray, therefore, the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. I've shared this before and I've shared it privately and publicly. When I heard the 19th session of Curry Blake, he quotes that passage. It's the passage God used to have me begin to close the door on an agricultural career to why I'm standing here today. And I've asked the Lord many times, Lord, why would you use those verses to call me? But here's a story that Curry relates. One time he had an open eye vision. He was awake. And his wife saw how he operated. He opened the front door. This is what she saw. He opened the front door. He physically walked out in his front yard. And as he's going through the yard, he stops. He'd lay his hand here. And he'd move on. And he was busy for quite a while. But what Curry saw in the spirit was a front yard full of diseased and infirm people. And down the way, he saw it filled with people on stretchers, wheelchairs, maimed, sick, infirm. And at the very end, he saw an ambulance, another ambulance, come screaming up, open the back doors. Yeah, they pulled out another stretcher, laid him down, closed the doors, and took off for some more. What he saw, a great harvest, a great need, many sick. And what rose up in his heart was, Lord, how can I do this? And he says it was one or two times in his life where he sensed the very presence of Jesus. I didn't see him, but he was right here. And the words of Jesus were, together we can. The word of God deserves a response. It's not just healing. It's not just casting out of demons. It's not just the gospel of salvation. But it's all of it. That's the kingdom message. But I believe, this is what one man said, our Lord Jesus Christ was filled with compassion and lived and moved in a place of long-suffering. And we will have to get into this place if we are to help needy ones. He said, it seems to me that until God has mowed you down, you never can have this long-suffering for others. If your life is like mine, it's full. It's busy. It's family. Good things. It's work. It's ministry. But the harvest is great. The labors are few. We are currently living in a culture, in a world that is looking for answers, where it's dark and fear has not yet left it. Can God use you? Will He? I'm going to say, by faith, I'm going to say yes, every one of you. But it's going to ultimately flow out of your oneness, because you are operating out of His compassion, out of relationship with Him, out of intimacy with Him, out of hearing Him and responding to Him out there. I don't know how to end here beyond this. Graham, maybe you have the words of wisdom, word of knowledge here. But I know it convicts me. I love gathering here on a Sunday morning. But there's a needy world out there. And despite what we believe about gifts of healings, God gave it to the church as a gift to be shared for the healing of the nations, for the healing of provinces, for the healing of Canada, for the healing of your community, for the healing of families, for the healing of individuals. And it includes supernatural physical healing. In Jesus' name.